Anyway, getting back to what I was saying about the speaker falling asleep, I woke up yesterday morning. I had a pretty bad cold. This morning it felt a little bit worse. So I didn't know if I was going to have to call Timmy Brooks or not, but I saw a big smile on his face when I came in the door this morning. I drank about a half a bottle of cough medicine a little while ago, so I think I'll get through it all right. But another thing I wanted to say before I did start on what I'm going to talk about today, after the hymn of invitation, I'm going to ask the deacons that are here to come forward, and we would like for you to come forward and offer them a prayer of support for what we're doing and what's going on in our church with the Family Life Center. We have a hearing, I think, is set for February 25th, and we want to be in prayer for those that are involved in that we might clear it up. So they'll come forward after the hymn of invitation, and you come forward and offer them a prayer. And if you have something that you would like for them to pray with you about real quick, we can do that. Just come to any deacon. They'll be up front. And then we'll have the benediction after that. What I wanted to talk about this morning a little bit, like I said, it'll be pretty short. But I'm going to start out in Genesis. It'll be Genesis 1:26 through 1:28 will be the first verses we'll be reading. But I'm going to speak to you about some people in the Bible. And as I talk about these people, I want you to decide whether you think that they had it made or not. And in what ways do you feel like they had it made? Like I said, I'm going to start out in Genesis 1:26 through 1:28. Then I'm going to move over to Exodus. And then we'll end up in the New Testament in Matthew. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "And God said, let us make a man in our image, after our likeness." In 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And subdue it and have dominion or supreme power over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Then he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and from Adam he took a rib, then caused his flesh to close back. From this rib God created a woman, a wife for Adam, whom he called Eve. Now God has said, man shall not be alone, so he created a woman to accompany man. Then God placed man in a place he called Eden. Now God said he put man there to dress it and keep it. Now, of course, we've all heard about the story of the Garden of Eden. It really sounds like a wonderful place, doesn't it? The Bible says that there were beautiful rivers, all kinds of trees, and all kinds of wonderful things there to support Adam and Eve. They seemed to have had everything right at their fingertips, didn't they? You might say they seemed to have it made, didn't they, at this point? Well, I don't think they really realized that. In Genesis 16:17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, what happened? Everybody knows, don't they? In the garden, the serpent influenced Eve to partake of the fruit, didn't she? Then, of course, Eve tricked Adam into partaking of the fruit. So here you have a man and a woman God's created, Adam and Eve, living in this beautiful Garden of Eden. They had beautiful trees, beautiful rivers, everything at their fingertips, didn't it? You might would say they had it made, right? Kind of reminds you of some people that we have in church, doesn't it? Like Bill Wright over here. Thank you. Bill seems like he has made pretty well, doesn't he? He has nice farm equipment to work with, everything. He's just good wife takes care of him. Jimmy Brooks laughing back here. Drives a nice, fine Cadillac. You got a chauffeur, Jimmy?
Working on it.
I heard somebody say he had an electric recliner. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. No. Arlene don't bring you milky cookies. I bet she doesn't need any notes. But look, I believe Jimmy, he'd be laying back in that recliner, and Arlene, honey, could I bring you some milk and cookies? He laying back watching that History Channel, you know. Don't give him any ideas. But there you go. But that's one way of having it made, isn't it? I don't know if they have it made quite that well or not. But that's one way of people, in our day and time, you think that'd be one way of having it made. But the reason I mentioned these two people because I've known Jimmy a little bit longer than probably anybody else in church. He was my teacher in high school and has always been somewhat of a mentor of mine. And Bill, he and I have worked together here in church and outside of church with a lot of the youth softball tournaments and things. And we've worked together here at church with the youth a whole lot. But both of these men I know personally, and I know in one way that they have it made is that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's another way to have it made, isn't it? And I do know that both of those have it made in a way that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I think Adam and Eve had it made. They didn't realize it, did they? But once the serpent got Eve to partake of the fruit, and Adam, things changed. It changed for everybody, didn't it? Okay, now I want to move over to Exodus. Here I'm going to talk a little bit about a man named Moses. In chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodlier child, she hid him 3 months. Here, the wife had a child she thought that was so beautiful that she just had to try to save him, right? Okay, now who did she have to save him from? Pharaoh, right, the king of Egypt. Because what was he doing? Excuse me, I have to add that water, everybody else did. Right, the king of Egypt at that time were having all the young males killed and thrown into the river. So here's Moses, just born, somebody's wanting to kill him. So his mother hid him for about 3 months until he was getting too big. He couldn't hide him anymore, right? So she took him down to the river and made something like a basket, right? Put him in the basket, shoved him out into the river. In the meantime, she had her daughter to go downstream to watch to see what's happening to him, what might happen to him. So that's when the Pharaoh's daughter came down to wash. She saw the basket. She heard had her maidens to come go over and fetch the basket for her. So it's then when she opened the basket, the baby began to cry. She takes the baby out and comforts it, okay? So she falls in love with the baby right away, you know that, okay? The daughter goes to her and says, "May I go fetch a Hebrew woman so that they might nurse the baby for you?" And she said yes, you know, so she went, of course, she went and got the child's mother and brought him back. And the king's daughter said, you know, take the child, nurse it, and she'll even pay the wages to take care of the child, okay? So Moses, he didn't have it made right when he was born, did he? Somebody was trying to kill him right away, right? But probably as a child, you might say that he had it made, because I don't think it could probably get much better than being the king's son or the daughter's or grandson. So I'd say he probably had it made growing up. Of course, going back a little bit, the reason the king was having previously that I forgot to mention, the Pharaoh was having these children killed, is that the Hebrew population was growing so much that he was afraid they were going to overthrow him and he wouldn't be king anymore. That's the reason he was having all the male children killed and thrown in the river. So that's what Moses had to face when he was first born. So while he was growing up, I expect he had it made very well. But the child grew, and of course he became the Pharaoh's daughter's son. So that would be the Pharaoh's grandson. She said, "I will call him Moses because I drew him out of the water." So when Moses became a young man, things began to change a little bit. Well, he killed a Hebrew. He didn't kill a Hebrew. He killed an Egyptian for smiting a Hebrew. Okay? So Moses killed an Egyptian because he was smiting or doing something wrong to a Hebrew. Okay, this caused a lot of problems. Pharaoh decided he was going to have him killed, right? Okay, so Moses had to flee the country. He went to a place called Midian. There he sat down near a well, and while he was there, seven women came to the well with a flock to water. Some shepherds tried to run them off, but Moses stood up and helped them. He drew water for the entire flock and helped the daughters water the flock. So when the daughters returned home to their father, whose name was Reuel, who was a priest, he asked, "Why have you returned so soon?" The daughters answered, "An Egyptian saved us from the hands of some shepherds and drew water for our flock." The father then said, "Call to him that he might come eat with us." The Bible says that Moses was content to dwell there, and he took the daughter named Zipporah for a wife, and they had a son named Gershom. So time went on, and the king of Egypt died. It was at this time that the Israelites, who were still in bondage there, began to cry out to God. And the Bible says that God heard their cries and had respect for them. So we have Moses, who has been living in Midian for quite a while. He's raised a family, and he's basically a shepherd taking care of the flocks out in the desert. So, and from what I can gather, he was of some considerable age, probably in his 70s at this time. And he probably, for that time period in history, you might say he had it made. But one day while tending his flock out in the desert, that's when the burning bush appeared. Of course, the bush was burning, but it was not consumed. And it was then that God spoke to Moses, and Moses said, "Here am I." Of course, most everyone knows what God wanted Moses to do. He wanted him to go back to Egypt, right? And convince the king there to free the Israelites and lead them out of bondage into the promised land. Of course, Moses wasn't very comfortable with that, was he? That's not something he thought he could do. He didn't think the people in Egypt would believe him, first of all. And he didn't know how he would go about that. But Moses did return to Egypt. And, of course, after many plagues, the king reluctantly let the people go. But it was a great ordeal for Moses. It's something he didn't think he could do. But finally the king did submit to the Lord, and he let the people go. They roamed the wilderness for about 40 years before being allowed to enter into the promised land. So now you got Moses out in the wilderness for about 40 years. You think he had it made? Probably had a pretty rough time, didn't he? There's a lot of different stories about what happened to Moses while he was in the desert. Of course, some great things did happen to him. And probably you could say one way that he had it made was that he had such a personal, good relationship with the Lord. So he did have it made in some senses, and others, it was probably quite a task for him to accomplish what the Lord had set out for him. Okay, now I'm going to move over into the New Testament, Matthew 2, 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Okay, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, wasn't he? He wanted the wise men to go and then return and let him know where Jesus was and why. Why did he want to know where Jesus was? He wanted to kill him, that's right. Why did he want to kill him? Just like the Pharaoh with Moses, right? He was afraid that he wasn't going to be king anymore. That Jesus was going to take over as king and he wouldn't be able to be king anymore. So here again, sort of like Moses, someone wanted to kill Jesus when he was just a baby. Doesn't sound much like Jesus was going to have it made in his lifetime, does it? Of course, Jesus grew, and as a young boy, you know, he was a biblical scholar teaching in the temple. You've heard the story about his family going into the city. Then when they left, they were gone a day or two. Jesus wasn't with them. They didn't realize it. So when they returned to the city, they found Jesus in the temple preaching. And they couldn't get Jesus to go with them. He told his mother, he said, be for me, woman, for I go about my father's work. So while on earth, Jesus spent, you know, a lot of time traveling, teaching God's word. Of course, he fasted, 40 days in the desert? You call that having it made? Could you fast 40 days in the desert? I know I couldn't. I might last two. But that's not exactly what we would think of having it made today would be. But of course, we all know that Jesus was put here for a reason. And that certainly he had it made because he was going to have a place beside his father. In his father's house. When it was all over. So he knew this. And his human form while on earth endured a lot more than I know that any of us could. And I don't think we would consider, you know, this lifetime as having it made in that sense of having to endure everything that he had to endure for us. But eventually, dying on the cross for our sins. However, in the end, he knew that he would have it made, that he had a place in heaven beside the Father Almighty. And of course, you know, Moses, although he seemed to endure a lot also, but in the end, he had it made because he had such a relationship with the Lord. As I said previously, this is going to be very short, because we want to spend some time with our deacons at the front and spend some time on prayer. But so I ask you, do you have it made? Do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And if you feel you need to have him in your life and you don't, then you can come forward today and make a confession of faith as we sing our hymn of invitation.